The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Redeemed, rehabilitated, and real entertaining. This is the Carl Jackson Podcast.
All right, welcome to Monday's edition of the Carl Jackson Show Podcast. I hope you had a great weekend. Man, we've got so much to get to today. Trump vows retribution at his Waco, Texas rally. He says, I am your warrior. I am your justice. I want to talk about that. Also, what's happening with Ron DeSantis. We'll take a look at some of the early preliminary Iowa and New Hampshire polls in regards to Ron DeSantis. Those two are shaping up to be the top two contenders, despite the fact that Ron DeSantis isn't even in the race yet or has yet to declare. We'll go into that. I think Vivek Ramaswamy is going to be a sleeping candidate. I want to talk about that as well. So all of that will kind of be mixed into the Trump versus DeSantis battle. A CNN analyst suggests that some are guilty of digital blackface. Okay, we're going to talk about this. Black or systemic racism or racism in America is such a non-issue. You have people of privilege in privileged positions that have to just straight make up crap. And so I'm going to talk about that. And guys, we're going to be developing a new segment, if you will, or perhaps weekly. We're not sure how we're going to do it, but we're going to alarm you with fake racism alerts. When it comes to people like CNN's John Blake talking about this new digital racism or digital blackface that occurs, just more evidence that racism is a non-issue in the United States of America. This is a very, very big news article. And that is just the news has reported. Confronted by FBI abuses, Congress is now ready to add civil liberty protections to key surveillance law. So we're going to talk about that. I think this is some of the biggest news that has transpired. Very important news. You've got Ray Epps threatening if Ray Epps, the J6, I don't know what he was, informant. Originally back in the day, he appeared to be a member, I think a local member of a local chapter in Arizona of the Oath Keepers. I think he turned informant for the FBI. And apparently his attorney has sent a cease and desist letter to Fox News's Tucker Carlson, telling him to stop spreading information that he is part of the J6 cover up or something to that effect. So anyway, we'll talk about that briefly as well. Obviously, Tucker Carlson released plenty of video showing that Ray Epps had lied to Congress because he was in the vicinity of the Capitol during the J6 protest and encouraging people to go inside of the Capitol. So we have all that and more to talk about on this edition of the Carl Jackson Show podcast. Real quick, if you would stay tuned for some very quick program messaging, and we will be right back. Welcome back to the Carl Jackson Show podcast. Guys, this today's show in part is brought to you by MyPillow. MyPillow, just when you thought it couldn't get any better than the original MyPillow, Mike Lindell has done it again. Now he's out with MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow. Now it's been 20 years later since he's discovered a new technology that makes it even better. The MyPillow 2.0 still has the original adjustable feel that it's always had, like the original MyPillow, but now it has this brand new fabric that makes it softer, smoother, and cooler, if you can believe it. The fabric is just really good. It regulates the temperature of the pillow. All you have to do to take advantage of my exclusive offer or the offer that's exclusive to my listeners, which is a buy one, get one free, all right, MyPillow 2.0. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square right at the top of the page. Enter my name, Carl, C-A-R-L, C-A-R-L. I spell it, listen, because some people still in this world spell Carl the wrong way. They spell it with a K. We don't do that here. So you spell Carl, C-A-R-L, or give them a call at 800-858-0263. And then, listen, guys, just remember, the MyPillow products, not only are they American-made, providing American jobs, but these products come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. You can help out an American business. You can help out this podcast by going to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square at the top of the page. And then, again, put in my name, Carl, or give them a call, 800-858-0263. Okay, now, what is the first? Let's start here. And actually, I didn't mention this at the top of the page, but I always want us to be mindful of the things that should bring us together as Americans. And in Rolling Fork, Mississippi, there were devastating tornado or tornadoes, and in surrounding areas that have absolutely devastated those people, fellow Americans in Mississippi. So, wherever you can, go to donate and help them out. If there's an organization you trust, please do so. Please pray for these people as well, that God would use people to send resources and everything else there, and that they would be comforted beyond their own comprehension. Could you imagine, you know, a tornado hitting you or any type of natural disaster? You go from being a homeowner or property owner or someone's that has their life together, even, right? And then all of a sudden, within minutes, everything, materially anyway, is gone. And in some cases, many have died. The last count that I heard were 26 people that have passed as a result of the tornado, and they do expect the numbers to grow. If you've seen the coverage on television, it is absolutely devastating. So please keep them in your prayer. I know I will be donating through my church. We have a program, Convoy of Hope, through my church. And also, more than likely, I'll be donating to Samaritan's Purse, because I know they do a lot of great work on the ground as well. That's Franklin Graham's ministry there. So, all right. So just please, just some things to consider. We're all Americans, and I hate to see anybody suffering. So, okay. So let's go through this. And Trump had a rally in Waco, Texas. And listen, this is when Trump is doing his rallies, I believe he's just in his element. You know, I said years ago, I've heard others say it since, it doesn't matter who gets the credit for it, but I can't say I said it a long time ago. And I recall saying on air that these rallies for Trump, it's like Popeye getting spinach. I believe these rallies for Trump motivate him and embolden and empower him and encourage him just as much as it does his supporters. I think he needs the rallies because he loves being people's champion. And I think that's one of the benefits that Trump has. No one has an emotional connection, there's no doubt about it, to their supporters more than Donald Trump. And I believe it is a two-way street. They are connected to him. He is connected to them. You know, I absolutely love Donald Trump. I'd love to see him in office again. I don't have the emotional connection that many people have to Donald Trump. And that isn't to say I don't want him back in office. I absolutely loved his policies. I think there's some things that he screwed up on. But for the most part, I think he was an amazing president. And I think he was the best president in modern history. All right. So having said that, Trump goes to Waco, Texas. Obviously, there were supporters waving witch hunt signs. This, according to the Texas Tribune, who don't seem to be very favorable toward Donald Trump. But it doesn't matter. I do want to report to you some of the things that he said he would get done, because ultimately that's what matters. All right. That's what matters. And again, his strongest competition appears to be Governor Ron DeSantis. So he shared some barbs against Ron DeSantis, or traded. I wouldn't say traded. He did go on the attack against Ron DeSantis as well. And this is part of politics. I will say this, you know, everybody knows Trump is going to behave this way. Trump is going to be Trump. I think it is a big mistake for Ron DeSantis if he wallows in the mud with Donald Trump. I don't think anyone on the Republican side or the Democratic side, to be frank, could beat Donald Trump in the mud. I think that's his game. I heard Mark Simone, radio host in big time radio host in New York said that Donald Trump once told him that if he could get rid of the veneer of respectability on his opponents, then he can win the race. And it's a fabulous tactic, whether you like it or not. Politically speaking, it's a very smart tactic on Trump's part. But I am somebody that I like Trump because of policy. I don't care about all the other stuff. A lot of people, whether you're for Trump or against Trump, are emotionally involved. I'm for Trump for the policy reasons. That's what's most important to me, because I understand that in 4 years, if Trump were to get reelected, he'd be gone in 4 years. And frankly, I don't think 4 years is enough to roll back all the damage that the left has done to this country. But I do think a Trump presidency, and frankly, a DeSantis presidency, they could likely make inroads within 4 years. But I got to be honest with you, too. I think there's some sleepers in the race, or at least a sleeper. We'll see if anyone else announces. But I think people need to be on the watch out for this guy, Vivek Ramaswamy, self-made millionaire worth hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. He has great ideas. And so far, he has some of the most bold ideas. So I will talk about that shortly. But getting back to President Trump and his rally in Waco, Texas, here's some of the things that he said, and I'm quoting. This is from the Texas Tribune. I am your warrior. I am your justice. And we had video of Donald Trump. I don't think we did. Were we able to? We were having some internet problems. Unfortunately, we weren't able to cut the videos the way that we wanted to. But I do have some quotes here that I want to read you. I am your warrior. I am your justice. He says his speech was approximately 90 minutes. He goes on to say that for those who have been wronged and betrayed, I am your retribution. Listen, I know a lot of people will get upset about this. I don't. I absolutely believe the man is right to say this. I believe he's justified to say this, not only based upon what's happened to him and how the Department of Justice has done backflips to go after this guy. But essentially, they've done this to us, too. And I've argued that if we don't have the rule of law, we don't have an American system. So Trump saying, I want to go out and I'm going to be your warrior. I'm going to be your justice. I'm going to exact justice on the people like you that were wronged. Listen, I don't think this is bad. I don't think this is bad. He's a populist. This is what people want to hear. This is what people want. People that have been wronged by the left and by the justice system. And I think this is very, very important. So now he positions himself as a sole protector of American values. And it's a great way to position yourself. His supporters, there's one that's quoted here, having traveled over a couple of hours to go see him, that says Trump is the only one that could bring America back to prominence. And so many, if not all, of his most ardent supporters feel exactly like that. That isn't to say that they wouldn't vote for someone else, if he were to lose the primary. But listen, you're not going to be able to wrestle these people away from Trump. And I think the more the left tries to portray Trump as some just evil, sick, twisted guy, the more people are attracted to him, frankly. And the same is true for me. And I'm not even one, again, that has this emotional pull, but I'm so sick and tired of what the left is trying to do to destroy this man. I'm like, hey, I want some justice. It would serve them right if he did get back in office and he was just able to laugh in their face. And I have no problem with that. All right. So here's a couple of things that Trump said policy-wise that I think are very important, and that's what I want to focus on, are Trump policies. Now, he says, and I quote, I will prevent World War III, which we're heading into. Does anybody doubt that we are heading into World War III with this guy, Joe Biden, in the White House? And I think it's extremely important, frankly, that Trump and any Republican with a major platform focuses on the damage that Joe Biden, the Democrat Party, and the left, and I believe they're all synonymous, are doing to this country. That is going to be so important, so very important. Listen to this headline. He's so right. This is a headline that was off the tip sheet. This isn't part of my Jackson's Five, but I want to make mention of it based on the fact that Trump made mention of what could be a pending World War III. And it says here, this is from Politico. not exactly a right-wing rag. So, we like getting our sources from everywhere. NATO criticized Moscow on Sunday for its, quote, dangerous and irresponsible, close quote, nuclear rhetoric after Russian President Vladimir Putin announced he would deploy tactical nuclear weapons to Belarus. NATO is vigilant and we are closely monitoring the situation. We have not seen any changes in Russia's nuclear posture that would lead us to adjust our own, close quote. This from a spokesperson for NATO. The spokesperson criticized comments from Putin on Saturday that likened the deployment of Russian nuclear weapons in Belarus to the U.S. stationing its nuclear arms in Europe as part of the NATO Defense Alliance. Guys, Putin is feeling so emboldened, despite the fact that we and others have been sending Ukraine money and weaponry to fight against Russia. Russia is now aligning themselves with Xi Jinping of China, with Iran as well. And it looks like the crap could hit the fan. Things are not getting better. The world is not a safe place when you have a weakling in the White House. Like it or not, we are a police to the rest of the world. I know everybody's, oh man, you and guys, neocon, whatever. I don't want to get in what has been labeled endless, useless wars. I don't. And I have no confidence whatsoever in Joe Biden to be able to execute a war. We find ourselves in a dangerous position, I do have to say, because I was one of the ones when Putin was sitting on the border, stop him now. Like, whatever you got to do to stop him now, stop him now. I saw no reason for Putin to hesitate in taking Ukraine once Joe Biden got in office. If I'm our adversaries, if I'm China, and I believe that I'm supposed to be, or I want to be the dominating power around the world, why not take advantage of Taiwan? And I hate saying this out loud, but it's true. Why not take advantage of Taiwan while Biden is in, while we got a weak president is in? Why not take advantage and take Ukraine while we have a weak president in, while we have a weak president that's in office? And listen, I understand the corruption that exists in Ukraine. Let's not conflate the two. Ukraine is corrupt. I don't think Zelensky is the best leader. I am totally with you there. The problem is now Russia has invaded Ukraine. What do we do? What do we do? And unfortunately, I don't think there's any real good answers with Biden in the White House. But I do realize that Putin doesn't have the right, the moral right to invade a country. Regardless of the history, once lines are drawn, once peace agreements are made, you start a war when you go back on those peace agreements. So Donald Trump saying that he would stop World War III, I think is a great argument, because let's face it, Donald Trump, when he was in office, everyone said that he would start World War III. Well, you can see Little Rocket Man in North Korea stop popping off missiles. You could see that the Russian bear Vladimir Putin was tamed. You could see that Xi Jinping was afraid to lose power because of the sanctions and the trade agreements that Donald Trump was working out against China. I mean, was just absolutely devastating to them. Not to mention COVID as well, which was devastating to everyone in the lockdowns. But Donald Trump was allowing or causing America to resurge as the preeminent force around the world, the greatest country in the world. He was doing that, and he was doing that with his foreign policy as well. I'm not so sure when Donald Trump says that he can prevent World War III. I'm not so sure, even if he were to get in, that he would be able to. Let me put it this way. I'm afraid that World War III would start before he is ever able to get elected, or any Republican for that matter. Because, again, why would any adversary wait while they've got Joe Biden in the White House to advance for their own agendas? No one would wait. All right. Now, number two. Here's what Trump said. If returned to the White House, Trump promised to conduct the largest deportation operation in the nation's history by increasing the number of border enforcement officers. which would be a good thing. He also promised to pledge to reinstate Title 42. You guys know that, the emergency health order that he initiated at the beginning of COVID, that has been used to turn away illegal migrants from the southern border since March of 2020. The Biden administration apparently plans to end the national pandemic era health order in May. All right. So now here's the thing. I got to say this. I don't think that will be effective, reinstating Title 42. I think the Supreme Court has already chimed in on this, and John Roberts did specifically, and allowed Title 42 to remain in place. But I'm not convinced that there's a legal standing, given the fact that Biden himself, the president of the United States, the president-elect, has stated over a year ago that COVID is essentially over. So I'm not sure that that's going to be an argument that's going to stay. Now, you know, the Remain in Mexico policy, I think, was a very good policy that Donald Trump implemented. I think that was brilliant. I think we need a moratorium on legal immigration, even until we get the mess that the left, the Biden administration, has caused with the influx of illegal immigrants into our system, until we can get as many deported and sent back to their home countries as possible. I think we need a moratorium, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, whatever it takes. Because on, let's be frank, a lot of these people aren't going to leave the United States now that they're in. We have to make sure those that we cannot deport are assimilated into our system, even if that means implementing a moratorium so that more can't come in. The third thing Donald Trump said is he vowed to end Russia's invasion of Ukraine within a day of beginning his next administration. Now, again, assuming this is the third thing, but it connects to the first. So assuming we already won't be in World War III, Donald Trump would have to come in and negotiate. And we all know that he has great negotiating skills. But the problem is, how far will America be brought down to size by the time that that Trump or another Republican comes in office, if indeed they do? And I hope they do. But we do have to be worried about we do have to be concerned about the elections. Let's face it, it's going to be all hands on deck, a deck battle for us to be able to win back the White House. And even though we have a significant advantage when it comes to the Senate, I think there's as many as 26 seats that could be flipped in the Senate. Doesn't mean we're going to win them all. All right. So just things to keep in mind. But again, Trump vows to end Russia's invasion of Ukraine within a day of beginning his next administration. And we know that he will negotiate, and we know that he'll negotiate with force. The problem is, how strong will China be by the time a Republican gets back in office as well? The fourth thing that Trump echoed was obviously critiquing or criticizing Governor Ron DeSantis. He did say that DeSantis was his most likely competition in the Republican presidential primaries. But listen, we don't know that. And frankly, I think DeSantis is a great candidate. I'm not mad if DeSantis wins the nomination. But I do think, and there's a couple of people that I want to see on stage. As you guys know, if those that listen to my show, Larry Elder, well, when I was sitting in for Officer Tatum, Larry Elder came in on Friday, and he said that he'll have a big announcement in regards to the presidential race. Now, I can only assume and speculate that he'll get into the race. And I think he should. And I'll say this, too, just bluntly, the more people get in, the more likely it is that Donald Trump will win the primary. But here's why I still want Larry Elder in, and I want Vivek Ramaswamy in, and he is in, but I want them on the stage. I believe that there is no one, I don't think there's anyone even close that can argue the social issues, implications, and the impact that the left's policies have had on blacks and minorities better than Larry Elder. I don't think there's anyone out there. That I don't think Trump could do it. I don't think I can do it, frankly. I don't think Candace Owens, Officer Tatum, I don't think anyone can do that better than Larry Elder. I mean, if you hear the guy speak, and not only is he quick, but he can remember stats and stuff on the stump like no one's business. I mean, he's been focusing on this stuff for over 30 years, and he's amazing at it. And also, you know, obviously he's been mentored by the late Walter Williams and Thomas Sowell. And so I don't think anyone can do that better than Larry Elder. So I think he should be I would like to see him on the stage. I think he would make a phenomenal. I think he would make a phenomenal VP. I'm just being honest. I think it'd be tough for him to win the presidency, obviously. But I would love to hear him on stage talking about many of these issues. The same is true for Vivek Ramaswamy. Vivek Ramaswamy has already announced his presidency. He was the first to come out and say, and I think more forcefully even than, you know, DeSantis, because DeSantis, you know, took a little swipe at Trump. I, quite frankly, it didn't bother me, but it got a lot of people PO'd. Oh, my God, since he took this swipe, wrong timing, wrong this, wrong. Oh, shut up. I mean, for God's sakes, people, we are fighting freaking communists. If you're going to get all hot and bothered about DeSantis taking a swipe at Trump after Trump took a, yeah, but DeSantis should have, oh my God, give me a break. Give me a break. For God's sakes, we are fighting communists. All right, get ready. Get ready. Get your male pants on. For God's sakes, it just didn't upset me. I'm like, whatever. They're going to go at it. You know, people are human. Was it a smart move on DeSantis' part? No, but you know what? At least he made a right answer in that, yeah, what the DA in New York, Alvin Bragg, is doing against Trump is wrong. Should he have been more forceful? I think so. But speaking of being more forceful, again, going back to Vivek Ramaswamy recognizing the moment. I think Ron DeSantis missed the moment somewhat, but Vivek Ramaswamy recognized the moment, and he said, listen, all presidential candidates should say, should be against this prosecutorial abuse that we see happening with the Manhattan DA's office and Alvin Bragg. And he's absolutely right. Every single candidate that's vying for the presidency should come out in full force and denounce what's happening in Manhattan. And the case appears to be falling apart. I can't imagine that Alvin Bragg will continue to move forward with this case, given the fact that the grand jury, he couldn't even get grand jury agreement. There's lefties within his own DA's office, the Manhattan DA's office, that are like, this is, you know, there appears to be, or there's reports of a lot of turmoil. You got a lot of people on the left and the right just saying this is a very bad idea. This is prosecutorial abuse. You got Alan Dershowitz out there claiming it. You got Jonathan Turley out there claiming the same. Just a bad idea. But again, Trump echoed recent criticisms he's made again against DeSantis. Trump claimed credit for DeSantis' political rise after endorsing him in the 2018 governor's race, but said Florida has been in decline in the years since. Listen, I love Trump. I'm just being real. I think that's a very stupid argument. And I hear Trump supporters saying that all the time. The most ardent Trump says, well, DeSantis would be nothing without Trump. Guys, where would any of us be if someone hadn't given us the opportunity to rise? Where would Donald Trump be if his father hadn't built an empire? That's not knocking him. He took it to another level, but that's not knocking him. We all would hope that someone would give us an opportunity to shine. Now, having said that, I do believe that Donald Trump put DeSantis on the map when it came to he won the being here in Florida. There's no doubt that he won the primary as a result of Trump. But I could say this. I can say this too. Literally, everyone, that, including myself, because I just didn't know enough about DeSantis, except that he was on the Freedom Caucus. I loved what he was doing on the Freedom Caucus. He often defended Trump while he was in the Freedom. Actually, he defended Trump a lot when he was on the Freedom Caucus. Or what have you. And he was a staunch conservative. I don't think he was a top member in the Freedom Caucus. So I wasn't sure about Ron DeSantis for governor. I don't even recall, but I believe I voted for Adam Putnam in the primary. And I know several leaders in the community, all right, that were backing Adam Putnam despite Trump's endorsement of Ron DeSantis, because there just wasn't enough information on him being an effective leader. He was a good congressman, but that was all we knew for the most part. So I'm telling you, I talked to several leaders that have major pull in the Central Florida area. No one backed Ron DeSantis despite Donald Trump's endorsement. So I'll be frank with you. Yeah, I'm sure that it helped DeSantis get over the top with the primary, with Trump's endorsement. But I got to tell you, I didn't see a lot of it on my end beyond colleagues of mine on radio and in some tighter political circles but a lot of people just didn't know him and were still going for Putnam. All right, so he ekes out this primary win. He ekes out the governor's race. And I got to tell you, frankly, I think if Adam Putnam was in, I think he would have beat Andrew Gillum too, without Trump's endorsement. And I think he would have beat Andrew Gillum in larger numbers just because more people knew Adam Putnam. But Ron DeSantis ekes out a win, I think 30,000 votes. And then 4 years later, the guy is reelected with 1.5, beats his candidate by 1.5. I'm sorry. That had nothing to do with Trump. And if you say so, you're a liar. That had nothing to do with Trump. I love Trump, but I'm not going to sit here and blow smoke up your butt. That's a damn lie. You don't go from winning an election because you get endorsed by Trump by 30,000 to winning your next election by 1.5 million when Trump is barely in the picture. Give me a freaking break. You're just not being honest with yourself if you're saying that. I'm sorry. You're just not being honest with yourself. And this isn't an endorsement of DeSantis. This is just the truth. All right. So now, but moving on. All right. When Trump wasn't positioning himself as a savior, this is the Texas Tribune taking a jab. He cast himself as the victim of politicized attacks, particularly in New York. Listen, he is a victim. He is a victim. And I think it's asinine for the Texas Tribune to say that. And frankly, I think we all are. I'm sorry. The prosecutorial abuse that we've witnessed over the years is absolutely insane, in my opinion. And there's no doubt the left has used Trump as just as a piñata. They have absolutely tried to beat this man down. So part of the appeal for Trump is the fact that the left hates him so much. Because you have to ask yourself the question, why does the left hate the man so much? And the only answer that I could come up to that makes sense is because he's so damn effective. Let me take a swig. Guys, if I haven't already, I do want to encourage you to please, before I go forward, to please subscribe to the podcast wherever you go to get your podcast. We would sincerely appreciate it. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel, The Carl Jackson Show on YouTube. We're also on Rumble. We're also on Rumble as well, if you prefer that. But please subscribe to those pages, YouTube and Rumble. We would very much so appreciate it. It would really help us, frankly. Also, find us on Instagram, The Carl Jackson Show on Instagram, Twitter, Getter, wherever you find us on social media, The Carl Jackson Show. And guys, I don't want to forget to tell you about our one of our newer sponsors, Birch Gold. And if this isn't the perfect time to make sure that you have a little gold in your portfolio, I don't know when is the time. Because listen, the Fed is trying to prevent, and Janet Yellen trying to prevent contagion of banks just basically going out of business. There was a story, there was a headline that I saw, I think in the last several weeks, $98 billion or something to that effect, less money deposited into bank accounts since people have learned of this SVB collapse. Lord willing, that prevents contagion. You have the Treasury Secretary Jerome Powell of the Federal Reserve that had to hike interest rates another quarter of a point. Just the other week, guys, make sure that you have some tangible assets. Por favor. All right. Birch Gold Group. Guys, inflation has consequences as the Fed raises interest rates to combat the out of control government spending. Long-term bonds have diminished in value, crippling banks. All right. Depositors are holding their breath and investors are bailing on bank stocks. Diversification has never been more important. The recent surge in gold prices is directly tied to the extreme market volatility right now. This is why gold has historically been a great edge against the stock market and against inflation. The only company that I trust to help you diversify into gold is the Birch Gold Group. Listen, here's what you have to do. Text Carl to 989898. You'll get a free info kit on gold. Birch Gold will help you convert an existing IRA or 401k that's tied to the volatile market into an IRA in physical precious metals. All right. gold and silver. And the best part is it's tax sheltered. Again, text Carl to 989898 to claim your free info kit on gold today with an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Thousands of happy customers trust Birch Gold to protect their future. You can too. Text Carl to 989898 today. All right. So please, the Birch Gold Group, Birch Gold Group, text Carl to 989898. Thank you, Birch Gold Group, for giving our listeners an option because this fool in the White House is destroying our money. All right. Now, let me go back to the topic at hand. We're talking about Donald Trump in Waco, Texas. There's other issues that I'm going to bring to you real quickly here. But I want to make sure I go through some of the policy stuff and I can kind of intertwine the Trump versus DeSantis debate that is happening out there. I don't even really want to get into this right now, to be honest with you, but I realize the news is the news. All right. And so I'm going to cover the news. I want to make sure that you're informed on what's happening in the news. But I hate seeing a Trump versus DeSantis battle when I think we should be seeing a Trump versus Biden battle or DeSantis versus Biden policy battles. I think that's going to be most important because we're not living in 2016. We're not even living in 2020. The threat isn't just the Rhino establishment party, frankly. The threat are communist left that have taken over the Democrat Party, and we are feeling the pain of that. And I think that has to be the primary issue. But going back to this Alvin Bragg, everyone knows that this is prosecutorial abuse. For God's sakes, you're talking about a non-disclosure agreement, whom, by the way, Stormy Daniels wrote a letter to someone, I believe her attorney, that TMZ got a hold of, saying the affair with she and Trump never even occurred. Who knows? I don't care. I'm sorry. I don't care. That's got to be between she and God, Trump and God, if something occurred. But Trump denies it. She's apparently denied it in a letter. But nonetheless, you have what could be potentially a misdemeanor charge in New York, where someone has I don't even know. They're claiming that there were, I always forget the wording on this thing. Forgive me. Apparently this was supposed to be advantageous to Trump's campaign. His presidential election campaign. And we now know that Michael Cohen, his former lawyer lied about, you know, the $130,000 legal fee. You know, Trump didn't know about it. The Trump campaign didn't know about it. This was a HELOC loan that Michael Cohen took out to pay off Stormy Daniels' hush money of sorts. So what the heck is Trump even involved for? It makes no sense. They're saying he lied about a business transaction or something like that on his accounting paperwork. And we now know the guy didn't even know about it. So why is the case still even in existence? So that's why it's breaking down. But nonetheless, this would have been absolutely destructive for the country. We go straight into Banana Republic zone if, in fact, Alvin Bragg is allowed to bring charges against Trump, indict him, and cuff the man. This is Banana Republic for what would be a misdemeanor in New York, and it simply should not happen. Everybody needs to be on train on the bandwagon with that. I'm sorry, everyone does. Trump said, and I quote, "This is really prosecutorial misconduct. The innocence of people makes no difference whatsoever to these radical left maniacs." He's absolutely right. He said it is worse, actually, in my opinion. Hard to believe anything can be worse than this. Worse than ballot stuffing, he says. And I have to think on that one. Is this worse than ballot stuffing? I suppose he's correct because that gives you a banana republic. But I think the ballot stuffing caused a banana republic. Let me think on that more. But I do think he might be correct in that. All right. Number six, the most vocal response from the crowd came when Trump called to keep men out of women's sports. Which has become basically an increasingly popular issue. You got more people that are speaking out against this nonsense. This is absolutely common sense. Of course, we need to keep dudes out of chicks sports and vice versa. All right. It's just absolute common sense. All right. Now, this, according to Axios, real quick, let me fly through this stuff here. You know, my Again, please subscribe to our podcast wherever you go to get your podcast. Please follow us on social media, The Carl Jackson Show. Please, guys, love to see you on YouTube. I'm just being open and honest with you. It really does help the show. We need to move up the ratings so that more people, or the ladder, so that more people can hear us. The only way that happens is if you guys subscribe. I'm not going to ask you for money. It's nothing like that. You just get the show right in your inbox if you want to listen to it there. We would certainly appreciate it, all right? Axios, this from Axios. DeSantis shows early state strength or state strength in Iowa and the New Hampshire polls. So again, this is Axios, all right? So I'm just not exactly a right-wing rag, but two new polls from a top Republican polling firm provided to Axios exclusively find Governor DeSantis is running more competitively than former President Trump in Iowa and New Hampshire than he is faring in national surveys. And guys, this is why I say I'm hearing all this stuff, national surveys this, national surveys that. Listen, we just went through 2020 and 2022. I was sitting up there thinking there was going to be a red wave. I was wrong. I'm reading the polls. I'm reading every single poll. I'm reading left-wing polls. I'm reading the polls that got it right. And many of you were following along, if not reading them yourself. And there should have been a red wave. We got like a red trickle. I don't believe a damn poll out there. All right. I'm sorry. It's fun to talk about this stuff, but I don't believe a damn poll out there. All right. It's just real. But here's one I really don't believe. And I know I'm going to burst your bubble, many of you. I don't believe the national polls. I'm sorry. I simply do not believe the national polls. It makes no sense to me right now. And I know that maybe Trump's most ardent supporters are going to respond to a lot of polling. Maybe some people that just aren't in the political mood as of yet. I mean, we just got over the midterms where we were freaking devastated. Thank God we won the House. But Republicans, let's be real, we were devastated. And all that's going to matter are state-by-state polls, particularly when you get into the primary season. And what's going to matter are the delegate counts. So all these people talking up national polls, even on my side, it doesn't make a damn bit of difference right now. Just being completely real. All right. So again, you get two new polls from a top Republican polling firm that are saying DeSantis is doing pretty good, despite the fact that he hasn't even declared in Iowa and New Hampshire. This isn't a pro DeSantis, anti-Trump podcast or vice versa. This is just bringing you the news. All right. I'm not trying to be on anybody's side. I'm not mad at Trump. I'm not mad at DeSantis. Frankly, I love them both. I love what I've been seeing. I've been very vocal. I really love what I'm seeing from this guy, Vivek Ramaswamy. I think this guy could be a sleeper. At the very least, I want to see this guy on the stage. He's got, to me, he's got some of the strongest ideas so far, and he's been the most articulate. He wants to get rid of the Department of Education. He was the first one, as far as I know, to come out and say it straight out. All right. So now the surveys conducted by Public Opinion Strategies from March 21 to 23 were an outside client, not a candidate or super PAC, found DeSantis leading Trump by 8 points, 45 to 37, in a head to head matchup in Iowa and tied with Trump 39 to 39 in New Hampshire. In a more crowded field, including Nikki Haley, Vivek Ramaswamy, DeSantis was tied with Trump in Iowa and trailed him by 12 points in New Hampshire. Now, depending on how much the polling is for Nikki Haley and Vivek Ramaswamy in New Hampshire, maybe DeSantis would be tied with him. I don't know. But that's why I say the more people get into this race and the longer they stay in, the advantage goes to Trump. And I already think he has an advantage, frankly, because he's got 30% of the vote right off the top. I'm just being real with you. It's going to be hard to beat the guy. He's got a connection like nobody, just being truthful, like nobody else has. And I doubt that anyone will have, frankly, for a long time. The guy is such a unique figure, whether you like him or not. He's one of the most unique, if not the unique, the most unique political figure I've ever seen in my lifetime. I mean, that's just a fact. It's just a fact. All right. So national polls have shown Trump significantly ahead of DeSantis, but these polls suggest DeSantis is performing better in the early states where voters pay closer attention. Now, remember, too, When it comes to some of these earlier states, a lot of this stuff is about momentum. You start gaining name recognition, more people start donating. So a lot of that stuff is important. Axios goes on to say, between the lines, DeSantis's overall image is the strongest of all prospective GOP candidates on both states. In Iowa, his favorability versus unfavorability rating was a high 81 to 11%. Trump's was 74 to 24%, which is really good as well. Haley's favorable versus unfavorable stood at 60% to 19%. Former VP Mike Pence favorability versus unfavorability was 59 to 35%. In New Hampshire, DeSantis's favorability was 77 to 15, while Trump's was 69 to 29. Again, both good numbers by both. Haley was 54 to 23. Pence's rating was 50 to 43%. So there was a warning sign for DeSantis, according to Axios in the polling. And it's this: many Republican voters didn't see him, quote, as the best candidate to defeat Joe Biden. Here's why I take that with a grain of salt. It all depends on how Governor Ron DeSantis, if in fact he does declare, it all depends on how he'll perform on the debate stage. That is going to be very, very crucial. In New Hampshire, only 48% viewed DeSantis as the better candidate to defeat Biden, while 46% thought Trump was more electable. All right, so Trump's numbers aren't as high as you would suspect as well. In Iowa, 54% view DeSantis as more electable compared to 44% of Trump. But again, as these guys get on the debate stage, as they start talking policy, and if Biden is in fact the nominee and the guy can't utter more than a sentence, it's going to be hard for Biden to win without cheating. Okay, we know that's true. It's going to be extremely hard for Biden to win without cheating. That's just a matter of fact. Okay, a couple of more things real quickly. I think these are very, very big news. All right, so let me say this: digital blackface. CNN analyst, a guy by the name of John Blake, suggests that some are guilty of digital blackface, and he says it's an insidious form of contemporary racism. All right, this guy is. I won't go there. Let me say this. This is I think this is problematic for the left. I think this is very problematic. This is proof positive when you have to keep reinventing racism because it doesn't exist. It's not as pervasive as the left claims. I shouldn't say it doesn't exist, but it's certainly not pervasive. Right. Because if it were so pervasive, if there was really systemic racism, which there is not, that's so stupid. It's just proof positive that the left has nothing. They have no overt evidence that America is systemically racist. So they just come up with crap, CRT, DEI, all this kind of nonsense. They just come up with this nonsense. All right. Oh, by the way, that is one issue that Trump did talk about as well, that I think is very important to his campaign, abolishing CRT. Right. And a lot of Republicans are talking about this, but that's going to be very important. These guys are implementing racism, and that's all John Blake is of CNN. That's all he's doing. So he argued that a white person who posts a GIF or a video or photo, a meme that contains a black figure could be perpetuating racism. Right. Now, let me ask you this. Before John Blake said this, did people really think that? Did Democrats, did youngsters, you know, on TikTok, Instagram or whatever, did they think that before John Blake said it? No. This is stupidity. This is straight up asinine. All right. So let me ask you this, John Blake, if people post memes like I've seen or GIFs of like country rednecks doing something silly or saying something silly, but they just do it to make their point. Is that perpetuating racism? Oh, blacks can't be racist, right? I mean, these people are insane. And this stuff always comes from people that are so privileged. They get to say this stuff. It's amazing to me. He says here, this is a quote from John Blake. Maybe you shared the viral video of Kimberly Sweet Brown Wilkins telling a reporter after narrowly escaping an apartment fire, ain't nobody got time for that. Or perhaps you posted that meme of supermodel Tyra Banks exploding in anger on America's Next Top Model. Top Model. I was rooting for you. We were all rooting for you. Or maybe you simply posted popular GIFs, such as the one of NBA great Michael Jordan crying, or of drag queen RuPaul declaring a girl. He wrote this in an article on Sunday. He said, if you're Black and you shared such images online, you get a pass. So you can share this stuff, even though it would have the same effect, right? Even though it would have the same effect, and I would argue a bigger effect if Blacks were to share it, especially if there are influential Blacks on social media, it would have a bigger impact, right? But if you're white, he says, you may have inadvertently perpetuated one of the most insidious forms of contemporary racism. What about if whites share what Blacks did, John Blake, if the Blacks shared the gift or meme and a gif or meme and they happen to like that that influencer, so they share what that influencer shares? Is that racism? You see the knots these fools get themselves tied into? It's astonishing to me. And again, this is so silly. This is so ridiculous. We need to be mocking these fools like John Blake. What is this digital blackface, by the way? All right, so Blake defines the term as exaggerated, quote, racialized reactions, close quote, mocked at the expense of the person committing the action, uttering a particular phrase, or more specifically, white people mocking Blackness, as if that's their intent, by the way. He goes on to say, digital blackface is a practice where white people co-opt online expressions of Black imagery, slang, catchphrases, or culture to convey comic relief or express emotions. I hope no Black comedians have done this with white people, except I've seen it. Now, he also quotes Teen Vogue author and cultural critic Lauren Michelle Jackson, who identified the alleged form of stereotyping as some white people's tendency to view, quote, Black people as walking hyperbole. You see how these people just want to be mad? They just like to make up crap because they want to feel like victims, especially if they're in positions of power, prestige, and privilege. Like a Teen Vogue author or a CNN analyst. These fools feel guilty that they've made it, and they want to pretend as if they're the exception to the rule when they're not an exception to the rule. The fact is they took advantage of the opportunities that their dumb arses have in the United States of America. It's really that simple. And John Blake knows it's that simple. But in order to keep perpetuating this nonsense, in order for his party to win a freaking election, they have to keep people, they have to keep Black people mad. They have to keep Black people angry, because God forbid we tell Black people, you know what? If you have strong families, if you have a good education that's not telling you that you're a victim, but teaching you how to read, write, and do math, you'll be better off. If you have a belief in biblical principles, or have a biblical worldview where God says you were created and you were created for a purpose, as opposed to someone that needs to be dependent on government, Blacks would do much better. This is what I think John Blake knows. I think this is what the left knows, but they're so desperate. They're so desperate to feel like, I don't know, they're just normal. And they're so desperate for their political party to win that they're willing for Black people to feel oppressed even when they're not. To me, this is absolutely despicable. It's absolutely despicable and disgusting. It is. There's also a link to an academic paper from a person by the name of Aaron Wong titled Digital Blackface, How 21st Century Internet Language Reinforces Racism. It extends the list of allegedly racist memes, templates, GIFs, and images, including Oprah Winfrey's excited Oprah quote-unquote GIF, the confused Nick Young meme, and another of Mariah Carey reading I don't know her quote-unquote. Man, just making up crap. Brand designer Elizabeth Harford wrote a letter apologizing for perpetuating digital blackface in 2020. And she is quoted as saying that she'll be more careful about the memes and gifts of Black people she chooses to share from now on. But according to John Blake of CNN, she's still struggling with it. She's still struggling with it. Here's what Harford said. She said, those memes with Black public figures are the most effective because white people are so boring, close quote. I mean, isn't that sad? You have to demean an entire group of people just being boring. because you're trying to kiss the booty of people like John Blake. This is a non-issue. This is a non-issue. I want you to understand that the left knows and the Democrat Party knows, the most racist party to ever exist in American history, by the way, the party of slavery, the party of KKK, the party that was against the civil rights movement until it became politically expedient to be for the civil rights movement, and then had the nerve and audacity to lie about a big switch that never occurred, right? One Democrat Republican out of 20 something, I think 26 senators turns into a Republican, and there was a big switch. There was never a big switch. The Republicans learned the history for yourselves. The Republicans didn't even win back the House until 94 under Newt Gingrich and the Gingrich Revolution. These people just lie. Why? Because they think black people are stupid. And if you fall for this crap that John Blake is spewing, maybe you are stupid. All right, now, moving on, all right? Moving on. This, I think, is one of the most important stories. I wish I would have spent more time on it. Perhaps I will tomorrow. So this from Just the News. Confronted by FBI abuses, Congress is ready to add civil liberty protections to key surveillance law. Now, I'll tell you why I think this is important. J6 protesters. Also, what's happening with Ray Epps? Ray Epps, again, I mentioned earlier in the program, has sent a cease and desist letter to Tucker Carlson. Hat tip to Jennifer Van Laar, Red State, that was reported on this, did an article on that. Excuse me. All right. And so basically Ray Epps is saying, hey, listen, I'm not this guy that Tucker claims I was. I wasn't inciting violence at the J6 protest. I'm not this FBI informant and this and that, but everything seems to indicate that Ray Epps is. And apparently he lied to Congress because, he said, I don't want to get this wrong. All right. So he lied to Congress. He basically said he wasn't as big of a participant in the J6 protests as many people were claiming. And then Tucker Carlson revealed that he basically lied. He was a much bigger part than even the parts that we saw, where he was on the street encouraging people to go to the Capitol, and they were calling him out as an informant, basically, or FBI or whatever they started chanting. All right. So anyway, but that exists, the cease and desist. But this is what makes this stuff so important. All right. So the foreign here's what it says. This is just a news, just a summary here. After years of evidence that the FBI abused its spy authorities, Congress is embarking on a bipartisan effort to revamp a key surveillance law to better protect civil liberties, including appointing special lawyers to advocate on behalf of Americans secretly targeted by the government. So implementing lawyers into this FISA process that would be fighting for the civil liberties of Americans. Frankly, I think the FISA courts in this program needs to go bye-bye. It was implemented after 9/11 in order to be able to catch terrorists that existed here and abroad that may have been communicating to attack the United States of America. But now the left and their lackeys inside of the DOJ are using it to basically go and find patriots and conservatives and Trump supporters. That's all they've been using it for. So the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, Section 702 powers allow the government to rummage through the phone records in terrorism and counterintelligence probes without a warrant, and have long raised deep concerns. All right. The ACLU had litigation years ago against this, continuing through the bungled FISA warrant that unlawfully targeted the Trump campaign advisor, Carter Page. Remember, these people used a FISA warrant to spy on American citizen in a campaign that was working on Trump's campaign. Lawmakers continued to renew the law to ensure the government had powers it needed to fight terror threats. Despite the fact that we had evidence that these FISA warrants were being abused, the lawmakers kept using them anyway. Why is there a bipartisan effort for some reform on this law? Because they're scared Republicans will win the Senate and the White House. That's the only reason there are any Democrats that are willing to participate in bipartisan reforms. But this stuff needs to go bye-bye. This is the problem that I have with Republicans. Guys, we need some amputation in Washington, D.C., some amputation of programs, not just reform. Some of these programs need to go bye-bye because human nature dictates that people will abuse them. People that lust for power, people that and money and sex and don't know God, they will abuse these powers. I don't know why this is so difficult. It doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. Since this last renewal, the FISA court and U.S. intelligence community released devastating reports in 2020 and 2022 that chronicled years of FISA abuses that went far beyond the Russia probe and even included targeting the sitting member of Congress. All right, so this stuff basically needs to end. I can go on and on and on, but they targeted Representative Darren LaHood, representative from Illinois. It makes no sense. Scott said lawmakers on the committee, this is a different person. This is Representative Austin Scott. Let me just read this quote. He says, I think that you will see changes made to it. Speaking of the FISA Act, it says one of the newest members of the House Intelligence Committee told Just the News, adding there was clear evidence that the law's past safeguards have been breached by the FBI and intel agencies. So they got permission for the Russia probe, yet again, to be able to stop, you know, what they deem to be spying from Russia or Russia interfering in elections. And they just totally abuse that power. But Scott goes on to say, unfortunately, there have been some people that have leaped those guardrails for lack of better terminology. And there have got to be consequences for those people who were entrusted. If you were entrusted with the ability to query that information and you abused that ability, Scott said, then there have to be consequences, close quote. Scott also said lawmakers on the committee want to address who in government can query the database. All right. Who can be targeted? Who must sign off on such warrantless surveillance? He also suggested there's some support for adding lawyers to the secretive process to help defend the rights of Americans who are being surveilled without their knowledge. This is insane. But again, there are reforms coming. I think this is good news. I could go on with this. I think I'm going to study this in greater detail and bring it back to you. I want to bring you the points, but I want to do so more concisely. I don't want to read through all this. I mean, there's a lot there to read, but it's the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, Section 702, that now there's a bipartisan effort in Congress to reform it, to add some civil liberty protections to key surveillance law. And I think this is extremely, extremely important because we got to fight against this nonsense. They shouldn't be able to spy on you just because they freaking can. And that's exactly what they're doing. Guys, listen, I appreciate you tuning in today for this edition of the Carl Jackson Show podcast. I know it was hot and heavy today. There were a lot of topics that I felt like I needed to cover. And honestly, there were more that I didn't. But if you would, please support our sponsors, MyPillow.com. Again, use the promo code Carl at the top of the page or give them a call, 800-858-0263 or Birch Gold Group. Guys, listen, things are going to get tough. I think things are going to get tougher. I'm not trying to be, I don't know, worry windy or something, whatever they may call it. But let's face it, this economy is not great. This economy is not great. I'm concerned that there could be a run on the banks already. We've seen nearly $98 billion in deposits, fewer than we had. I think the week or month before the SVB collapse. So Birch Gold Group, all right? Birch Gold Group. Just text Carl to 989898, all right? That's 98 three times, 989898. And just diversify with gold. You can text that number and just get a free info kit from the Birch Gold Group. So please do that. Just be informed at the very least. You want tangible assets. Tangible assets. That's what you want. Get away from a lot of this digitalized crap. Did I say that right? Yes. All right. Guys, listen, I appreciate you tuning in to this edition of the Carl Jackson Show podcast. We really do appreciate you. And then, or until next time, don't grow weary doing good, all right? God bless you.
three-star general, Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.